Hello and welcome to Coffeehouse Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and this is the Sunday Roundup. The major talking point today has been the resignation of the Work and Pensions Secretary, Amber Rudd. Rudd is not just relinquishing her cabinet post, but also the Conservative whip, and plans to stand as an independent at the next election. Rudd's departure comes after 21 of her colleagues were expelled from the party after a critical vote last week. Andrew Marr spoke to Rudd about her decision.
What was the crucial thing that made you leave?
Two things, really, Andrew. First of all, the fact that 21 of my colleagues had the whip removed. And the reason they had the whip removed is the second reason that made me leave, which is they couldn't see sufficient concentration and planning on actually getting a deal. You're right, I support the Prime Minister in getting a deal and, if not, leaving without a deal. But the fact is, there is a huge amount of planning and preparation around no deal. I've attended a number of those meetings. We are really stepping it up, which is the right thing to do. But I have not seen enough work going into actually trying to get a deal. When earlier in the week I asked Number 10 for a summary of what the planning was for actually getting a deal, I was sent a one-page summary. So it's the combination of the fact that there's not enough work going into actually getting a deal, which is, I think, is not what the Prime Minister signed up to try to do. And secondly, the expulsion of 21 of my colleagues who are good, moderate Conservatives.
In essence, this is about trust. You are saying that you do not trust Boris Johnson to honestly try to get a deal with the EU.
Yeah, I'm not going to use that words because I believe that he is trying to get a deal with the EU. I am just saying what I have seen in government is that there is this huge machine preparing for no deal, which is fine. You might expect in the balance between getting a deal and no deal 50-50 in terms of work, but it's not that. It's like 80-90% of government time going into preparing for no deal, and the absence of actually trying to work to get a deal is what has driven 21 of my colleagues to rebel, and I need to join them.
So you think, honestly, he is trying to get a deal. Yeah. What deal?
I think he prefers to get a deal and
so,
the government...
So what deal is the question?
Well, that is the question. I mean...
And you have no idea?
I have no idea because what we know is that Angela Merkel and the EU have said, give us your proposal. And we have not given them a proposal. Where is all the work that needs to be done to try and come up with alternative arrangements, for show where the landing place is, all that work that needs to go behind it? And instead, we're just hearing, we are going to get a deal, but there's very little evidence of it.
The Chancellor, Sajid Javid, expressed his disappointment at Rudd's resignation.
I was very saddened by the news yesterday evening that Amber had decided to leave government. She's a good person. She's my friend, not just my colleague. But I have to say, whilst I respect her deeply, I don't agree with her on what I thought was her central point in her letter, which was she said that the government wasn't taking seriously the issue of getting a deal with the EU. But it was good to hear from her today that she did actually say that the Prime Minister is doing this seriously.
There is a very widespread suspicion, not just from Amber Rudd, but many other people, that really the government is not trying hard for a deal. You hear all these voices from Brussels saying, we see no new proposals, we see nothing coming forward. The two sides are diverging, not converging. To put that to rest, can you tell me now, give me one shred of a suspicion, of a whisper, of what the government's position actually is on that deal? What is the deal?
Well, first of all, I mean, that view, it couldn't be further from the truth.
Great, and well, let's tell us from, what the
let
deal
me tell
is.
You, from day one, from the point this new administration was formed, the central focus of the government has been to make sure that we leave the EU on October 31st. And that is, we want to have a deal. We absolutely
want to have a deal.
So what deal?
That's my point. Amber Rudd said there's no evidence that the government's trying to get a deal. Give me some evidence.
Well, the evidence is that...
Give the people watching some evidence.
The Prime Minister, on day one, he set up a group of his most senior ministers, most senior advisers, that have been meeting 2 to 3 times a week, working almost exclusively on getting a deal. There's been numerous meetings in Brussels.
They have taken nothing
to
Brussels.
There's been numerous bilateral meetings with EU member states. I've had a number of meetings and discussions. The Prime Minister, for example, is going to Dublin tomorrow. There's more meetings in Brussels next week. And there has been progress.
Okay. Ma also interviewed the Shadow Chancellor, John McDonnell. Ma asked why Labour had refused to vote in favour of an early general election last week.
The truth of the matter is, you don't want an election now because you think you'd lose it.
No. I want an election. I want it as soon as we possibly can. But sometimes you do have to put the country before party. And the key thing for me now, and I think It isn't just me, it's across the opposition parties and within the Conservative Party itself, is we've got to prevent Boris Johnson forcing through a no deal because of the damage it could do for our country.
So let's be very explicit. You think that despite the Act of Parliament will come into force next week, Boris Johnson would simply run the clock out and leave without a deal while pretending that it was all about an election?
Potentially, and it looks like, from what Amber Rudd has just said, and the lack of preparation for a deal and the concentration on a no deal, looks as though that's his strategy.
If you don't believe Boris Johnson, you could sort that out by legislating for the date of an election. The House of Commons can deal with this tomorrow.
We don't believe that we can pin him down, and I don't trust him an inch, and I don't think anyone does. I think that we've got a Prime Minister now who's saying he won't even abide by the law. By the law? I've never heard that before. Now, we're in a situation now where no one can trust while he's in place what can happen. So what we've got to do now is use every mechanism we possibly can to rule out a no deal.
Right.
And that's what we're trying to legislate on as best we can. But also, once we've got to that situation, we can then, I think, that's the time we can have a general election.
Well,
last week, the Commons passed a bill put forward by Labour MP Hilary Benn, which compels the Prime Minister to ask for an extension to Article 50 if a Brexit deal cannot be reached. The Foreign Secretary Dominic Raab told Sophie Ridge that the government would come out fighting against the legislation.
Do you accept that the legislation passed by Parliament, the law passed by Parliament, compels Boris Johnson to ask for an extension rather than seek a no deal? If you can't get a deal?
Well, first of all, the key thing with an extension is it requires agreement on both sides. I think it's very difficult for the legislation to micromanage in detail how that conversation will go. We will adhere to the law, but we'll also, because this is such a bad piece of legislation, the surrender bill that Jeremy Corbyn backed, we also want to test to the limit what it does actually lawfully require.
So what does that mean then? What does that mean?
We will look very carefully at the implications and our interpretation of it to make sure...
In the courts, do you mean?
No, I mean, actually, across the board, we will look very carefully, legally, at what it requires and what it doesn't require. I think that's not only the lawful thing to do, it's also the responsible thing to do. And again, I'll repeat, that legislation is lousy. It envisages multiple delays. It would effectively try and force us to accept conditions from the EU, however vindictive, punitive or harsh they may be. And as if we ended up extending, the Prime Minister's made clear he will not do it, it would cost the UK taxpayer gross figure, £1 billion each month. That's just a lousy piece of legislation.
Of course, the Prime Minister will not extend in any circumstances. Is that what you're saying?
He's been very clear about it this week.
So in that way, he would either ignore the legislation put forward or he would resign.
We're always going to behave lawfully as a government. Of course, you'd expect that. And anyway, it will be challenged in the courts. But what we are going to do with that legislation is test very carefully what it does and doesn't require. And that's not only the lawful thing to do, I think it's the responsible thing to do. The irresponsible thing to do was to support that legislation, which weakens our negotiating position in Brussels.
But Labour's Shadow Attorney General, Shami Chakrabarti, was infuriated at the government's approach.
What do you make of the government's position?
I think it's extraordinary. And the Foreign Secretary has a legal background himself. The idea that a sitting Prime Minister in one of the oldest democracies on the planet would say, I will ignore the law. And he was saying, oh, no, it's not ignoring the law, it's just testing it a little bit. Is that what we say to our kids? Is that what we say to poor, working people, vulnerable people in this country? Oh, it's not breaking the law, it's just testing a bit. I think the position is irresponsible and elitist. The idea there's one law for Boris Johnson and his mates and another law for everyone else, it's appalling.
I mean, what they would say is that they are trying to enact the will of the people, that they're trying to do what Parliament is trying to block, which is to
I've
carry out
what
the result
said,
of the referendum.
And I know what they say, that every tin pot dictator on the planet throughout history has used the excuse of having the people on their side to break the law, to shut down Parliament and all the rest of it is absolutely extraordinary. And I think it's very un-British, as was the purge of the 21 MPs who are Conservatives. You know, they're not secret Corbynistas. I noticed the way that Dominic Raab mentioned Jeremy Corbyn's name about 100 times in his interview, as if Jeremy Corbyn is the scary one. I think a lot of people will look at the behaviour of this number 10 in recent weeks and decide that the person who's being un-British and anti-democratic is Boris Johnson.
And finally, the newly independent MP Justine Greening told Ridge about the manner in which she was sacked by Chief Whip Mark Spencer.
I'm keen to know what happened when the news was broken that you would be stripped of the Conservative whip. I mean, who spoke to you? How did they get in touch?
Well, I was travelling home on the district line like I normally do, and I had a call from the chief whip. I obviously wasn't able to take it on the tube, so he simply left a voicemail.
And what did he say?
Just informed me that the whip was being withdrawn. I think it might have been polite after 14 years to try to call me back, perhaps, a second time. But the bottom line, Sophie, is that I think we are where we are, and I'm very clear what my role is, and my role is to represent my community in Parliament, and that's what I did that day.
So did you have any conversations after that? I mean, is Boris Johnson trying to get in touch with you?
No.
Dominic Cummings?
No.
Nobody else has called you back? Or...
No.
Just the voicemail?
Just a voicemail.
And how does that make you feel?
Well, I think it says an awful lot more about, I guess, the state of the Conservative Party than it does about me. And I think, in a way, I have served my community and my country for 14 years, and I think it's a shame that the whip has been withdrawn for me doing the simple thing of representing my community in Parliament. I'm not in control of how the Conservative leadership takes its decisions. I think it was a self-defeating move to withdraw the whip, and I think it will backfire. But ultimately, those are questions for Dominic Cummings and Boris Johnson more than they are for me.
That's all for this week. I'm Isabel Hardman, and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffeehouse Shots podcast on the iTunes store, and we also have a special offer. You can subscribe to The Spectator for 12 weeks for just £12, and you'll receive a free Amazon voucher worth £20. Just go to spectator.co.uk/voucher. And if you enjoyed this podcast, do subscribe to our daily Evening Blend email. It's a free roundup of all the political news each day, including now Sunday, along with analysis and a diary on what to expect next. Just go to spectator.co.uk/eveningblend. Thanks for listening, and do join us again next week.